On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
Lord, we just thank you that in your presence is the fullness of joy. Father, that all hell can be breaking loose around us, but when your presence is with us, there is a calm and a peace in the midst of the storm. And Father, we thank you for that. And we declare that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus, we love you. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives and abides within us. Oh, Father, help us to rise up and be all that you've called us to be for your glory. In Jesus' name, bless our time together in your word. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're continuing our verse by verse through 1 Corinthians. Last week I spoke the first part of chapter 12. I talked about spiritual gifts. And there are three different places in Scripture that really outline in detail spiritual gifts. But we focused on the ones in 1 Corinthians 12. The spiritual gifts are given to the church to help the church be all that God desires it to be. And the church matters. How many of you know that in society today, the church still matters? There's a movement happening where more and more Christians are abandoning the church, saying, you know, I really don't need the church. They get hurt, they get offended. For whatever reason, some people get caught up in the busyness of life, and to them, church isn't all that important anymore. But church matters, and we're going to see why today. We're going to talk about something, what I call body life, we'll get into in just a minute. But I believe that the biblical church is the single most important entity in the world today. It's more important than any government, more important than any military, because the church affects people's eternity. Government, armies, everything else deals with the temporal. The church deals with the eternal. That's why it's so important. The church done right appoints a lost and a dying world to a loving and a merciful God. What a privilege. I can't think of any greater privilege than pointing people to a loving and a merciful God. When I became a Christian, I was into drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stupid stuff. And when I got saved and found the reality of God, I knew that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, is to help people find Christ and to walk in Him and to grow in Him, because to me it was just the greatest thing going. The biblical church not only introduces a lost and dying world to a merciful God, but it does so with a heart of compassion and with grace and love and so many things. Done biblically, you got to listen to these next two statements. Done biblically, the church becomes the most powerful influence on the earth. How many believe that? It's so attractive and so appealing, it draws people to itself, and I'll show you that in Scripture in just a minute. But done unbiblically, and I'm not sure if unbiblically is a word, but you know what I mean, right? Done unbiblically, the church becomes an unholy, impotent caricature of itself. And it repels. It gives off a stench. Because the church is supposed to represent Jesus Christ and a loving God and a holy God and a reverent God. When the church becomes carnal and worldly in nature, it's no different than any other institution that gathers people together. And it loses its power, it loses its purpose, and it loses its effectiveness. And I think right now that one tactic of the devil is to get people to lose interest in church. Being a part of a church family, you don't need church. Bunch of hypocrites there anyway. I tell you, there is no church that is perfect. Every church is a work in progress. But it has extraordinary value in today's society. Paul's letter to the Corinthians and to us teach us how to be that loving biblical church. That's one reason why I've been spending most of the year doing this verse by verse through 1 Corinthians, is because here was a first century church that excelled in some ways, but had problems in other ways. And Paul was addressing the problems and giving them encouragement. And we can learn so much from the Corinthian church. In Scripture, the biblical church is likened to that of a physical body. And that's what we're going to get into today. That's why sometimes the church is referred to as the body of Christ. All right? If you've ever heard that term and you didn't know, you know, where it came from or why the church is referred to as the body of Christ, it's because, really, 1 Corinthians 12 is I would say, the primary reason. So let's take a look at what I call body life. Let's read verses 12 and 13 in 1 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit." So a human body represents one life, one being, but yet it has many individual parts, right? You know, we all have 10 fingers, 10 toes, we have forearms, we have elbows, we have shoulders, we have ears, nose, teeth, so many different individual parts that make up the body. But yet every part has a specific function that contributes to the overall health of the body. Remember Mr. Potato Head? How many remember Mr. Potato Head? I was going to get one of those, and I was going to plug in about 6 or 7 ears, you know, and just make them look real freakish. And it'd look weird, wouldn't it, you know, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. Well, God physically gave us the number of ears and finger, everything that we needed, but the same is true with the body of Christ, which we'll get to in just a minute. But every part of our natural body has a specific function that contributes to the overall health of the body. But the church, you and I, is also one body that has many individual parts and members to it. And every single part is important. When we become a Christian, we are baptized, or that word baptized means to be immersed, into the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul says, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. Now what that means, when we repent of our sins, invite Jesus Christ to come into our life, and we are born again, what happens is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence within us. That is the common bond that each one of us have. We can come from all different walks of life. We can come from Ghana, West Africa, and there's that common bond of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know what that makes us? Family. It makes us family. How many of you, do you remember when you got married and you inherited all kinds of new and interesting relatives? Maybe kind of a quirky Uncle Charlie, or, you know, of course they were on your spouse's side of the family and not yours, but you know, do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm still trying to figure out all my wife's family's aunts and uncles and all that kind of stuff. Well, when we become a Christian, guess what? We inherit a lot of new and interesting spiritual relatives. We become part of a body, I like to think of it as a family. And our assignment from God, our Heavenly Father, is that we learn to get along in such a way and do life together in such a way that the world stands back in awe and says, wow, I don't see that in any other entity in society. I want to be a part of that. That is part of the attractiveness of the church when it's done biblically. In Acts chapter 2, do we have that, Acts chapter 2, if you want to put that up? This is, the Acts 2 church is really the blueprint and the model of, I believe, what the church is supposed to be like. It says, and all those who believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. If you want to continue with that. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together. Now just look at that sense of family and doing life together. All right, day by day. Not Sunday morning only, but day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, they were at church. Breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and what? Having favor with all the people. And the Lord was doing what? Adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. In other words, this new thing called the New Testament church, people were walking and relating together in a way that the world just stood back in awe and said, this is incredible, this is amazing. And daily, people were coming up and saying, I want what you have. I want to be a part of what's going on here. That can still happen in the church today. But there's a lot of distractions and there's a lot of things hitting up against that. We need to understand that there's one body of Christ, but yet there are many members with different gifts and functions. No two members are the same. Everybody in here, none of us are identical. We're not the same in our giftings. We're all unique. We all have value and we're all necessary. Now, apparently in the Corinthian church, there were some who were seeing people move in powerful ways, and they looked at themselves and they started feeling very inferior. What we need to understand is that we may be different, but no one is inferior. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Again, apparently some of the Christians believers had this inferiority complex. I can't sing like they do up here. I can't play an instrument. I'm no good. I'm lesser than those up here. That's not true at all. Some looked at their spiritual gifts and they felt small and insignificant in comparison to those whose spiritual gifts may have given them more of a public or visible platform. But the truth is that every part of the church body plays an important role. The roles may be different, but no role is inferior to the other. Paul tells us in verse 18 that God places each one of us in the body just as he desires. In other words, the fact that you're here is no mistake. It's God who directs people to a local body of believers. He gives them unique gifts and unique placement. And either we trust that God knows what he's doing or we don't. If people come in to be part of a church body and they feel insignificant, inferior in whatever way, I think it reveals one of two things, or maybe two things. One is maybe there's a trust issue. God, I don't trust you to know what you do, and by placing me in this church body or giving me these set of gifts. You know, these gifts, I mean, what good are they? They're not much of a benefit, you know, to the people around me. Who are we to determine that? If God gives us some gifts, you know, let's just excel in them. But the second thing it could reveal is non-function issues. If we feel inferior, it's because we have gifts within us, but we're not doing anything with them. We see other people in their gifts and excelling in their gifts, and we're just going, oh boy, you know, nobody sees my gifts, and you know, we have this little pity party or whatever. I'm telling you, we don't need to feel insignificant. Bible says that God is no respecter of persons, that we are, he loves all of us equally. None of us are better than anybody else in this room. No one is inferior. No gifts are inferior. A better use of time, you know, than feeling insignificant and inferior would be to figure out what gifts we have and how to excel in the place that God has put us. You're faithful with a little, God will give you more. Remember, we're all different, but no one is inferior. Now, that's one end of the pendulum. We're going to swing to the opposite end. We're all different, but no one is superior either. Let's read verse 21 through 26. The Apostle Paul says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'Hey, I have no need of you,' or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members, the less visible members, come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." So what is all that saying? There are some Corinthians who are apparently thinking too highly of themselves and their giftings. And they kind of had this air of superiority, looking down on others. You know, I've heard about famous preachers. Some of them had really become arrogant. And I actually talked to this one guy when I was teaching a church planning class at Mount Hope's Bible School. He worked for this international speaker. You would know him. And this international speaker would have these little temper tantrums. He would hit and kick and just... hit this guy. And I'm thinking, that's no way to conduct yourself. Who in the world do you think you are to treat someone else like that? What an example are you setting? But yet there were some back then and there are some today who kind of walk around with an air of superiority because their giftings maybe put them in a spotlight in a public setting. Somehow that makes them better in their eyes, but not in God's eyes. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Now, also in the church body, we have to be careful to not overlook the importance of the less visible members of the body. I think the most visible members are those who are up front. The worship team, me preaching, people taking up tithes and offerings. How many of the less visible members are really important? They can make the more visible members look really good or really bad. I'll give you a quick sports analogy. Matthew Stafford, having a horrible year for the Lions. And there was a two-game span where he was sacked something like 13 times. Some quarterbacks don't get sacked 13 times in a 16-game season. Now, the offensive linemen, you just don't really notice. They're big, but I couldn't tell you the names of all the offensive linemen. But because they are failing in their job, Matthew Stafford is taking a pounding as the quarterback. Quarterback's the most visible position on the football team. But he is nothing without the no-name offensive lineman. That's why you'll see a quarterback, when they achieve, have great accomplishments, the quarterback understands that he didn't do it alone. And he'll buy his offensive lineman Rolexes and, you know, nice stuff like that. For us to think, if we're in a visible position, to think that those who aren't as visible are insignificant or not important and we're more important than they are, Matthew Stafford's learning a very valuable lesson about the importance of having an offensive lineman. But let's talk about an analogy of the body. My daughter-in-law has been having a lot of health struggles for the last 9 months. And she underwent a lot of testing, and they found a tumor on her adrenal gland, which sits on top of the kidney. And this tumor caused the adrenal gland to operate improperly. There are two adrenal glands that sit on each kidney, one on each kidney, but two total. The other one shut down completely because this tumor was causing this adrenal gland to overcompensate. You know when you get an adrenaline rush, something happens, you go, that shoots through your body? That was her 24/7. She couldn't sleep. It was affecting every area of her life. Now, how many of you woke up this morning thinking about how important your adrenal gland is? Yeah, none of us. But when those unseemly, invisible members that we don't give a second thought to, all of a sudden, when they're not functioning the way they should, the whole body notices. The whole body stands up and takes notice. Last Saturday, I was carrying a couple of pumpkins in my driveway, and I have a bunch of artificial joints, and I'm kind of klutzy now. I just don't. I can trip over a twig, and I tripped over something, and I fell down, and the pumpkins went flying. But I fell, and I landed on my arm, but my arm went up into my ribs, and I bruised my ribs, and they were pretty sore. Then I re-aggravated them. Oh. this week on about hole 14, and it was nice out. It was, and so anyway, my wife has had to listen to me to try to sleep. Every time I turned over, she said I groaned, I would yell, I would do all this kind of stuff. I mean, how many of you woke up thinking about, boy, I appreciate my ribs today. Appreciate my adrenal gland. No, you don't think about that kind of stuff, because these are hidden parts of the body that function and have a tremendously important function to our overall health. But as soon as they go bad, the whole body feels it, all right? So the point being, in church life, even though there are certain individuals that may not be as visible or the gifts may not seem that important, I tell you what, when that gift doesn't function properly, it affects the entire body. It takes, at least for this Sunday morning service, it takes anywhere from 30 to 40 people to pull it off. 30 to 40 people serving in some capacity of ministry. Whether it's the greeters that come in or the hospitality team that makes the coffee. We have the worship team here. We get the preaching, someone taking up the announcements, tithes, and offerings. We have intercessory prayer going on. We have people who count the money after the service. We have children's ministers. And I'm sure I'm missing some, and please forgive me. But it takes 30 to 40 people, but not all those are real visible. And you don't see them and think, boy, they're doing a great job. But I tell you what, if we didn't have a teacher in the classroom, we just drop the kids off. How many of you know it wouldn't go so well? You know, so please thank your teacher this morning when you pick your kids up. Just remember, we're all different, but no one is inferior and no one is superior. We all need one another. Paul made it clear that caring for one another was a priority, that division was not an option. He said in verse 25, there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And the devil loves to bring division into a church body. It can start small, it can seem insignificant, and it can grow over time. But if we're a biblical church, then we deal with problems in a biblical manner. And we don't allow the enemy to get a wedge in between relationships. A divisive church is a powerless church. But a unified church is it's a powerful church, because the presence of the Holy Spirit flows in a church that is unified. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that flows from Aaron's head and down his beard and down his garments. And it's just a picture, a beautiful picture. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. It's a psalm that I'm quoting. And how the oil of the Holy Spirit flows from the head, the leadership, down when there's unity. But when there's division, everything, the Holy Spirit is quenched, he's grieved. The church becomes unproductive, powerless, impotent in so many ways. We are all part of the same body. We cannot separate ourselves from the other parts. We can't. If you're part of this church body, you can't separate yourself from another part of this church body. Now, yeah, but you know, there's someone I struggle with. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean all body parts come into contact with one another. If my right heel touched my left ear, my voice would sing in pain. All right? So some body parts just don't work closely together. A few years ago, I had rotator cuff surgery. And it was an outpatient surgery. And And it was really strange because I'm looking at my arm. I'm touching my arm. I can't feel a thing. It's as if I'm slapping someone else's arm. I remember walking out. It wasn't at the hospital. It was at, some clinic or whatever. But they're having a little staff meeting. And I'm still a little loopy. And I'm walking out. Hey, everybody, just carry on. I'll be fine, you know. This was my arm, and I knew, even though I couldn't feel it, I knew if I didn't take good care of it, eventually it would come. The feelings are going to come back. I couldn't divorce myself from, this is my arm. And we need to care for one another. You know, and I have a real concern that look around at people that you used to see being faithful every week, and you don't see them much anymore. Why is that? Maybe behind the scenes, I'm in contact with a lot of different people I don't see here as much as I used to. But I believe that is just a strategy of the enemy, is to get people to buy into the fact that I don't have time for church, I'm distracted, I'm dealing with this problem, I'm dealing with that problem, church doesn't meet my needs, it's not that important anymore. Well, when we enter into what church life is meant to be, it becomes very important, because we become a part of something larger that becomes a shining light to a lost and dying world. We become part of the greatest entity on earth. Well, yeah, I can do that without going to church. Well, you know, the more lights that gather together, the brighter the flame, right? You know, and, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Paul said, if one member suffer, all suffer. If your arm hurts, if the ribs hurt, your whole body's going to feel it. The whole body's going to hurt. But if one is honored, we're to rejoice with the one being honored. We're not to be envious or jealous. Because when Paul wins, I win. When Chris and Mandy win, I win. Because we're all part of the same body. You know what I'm saying? But also, if two members are fighting, it affects the quality and the function of the entire body. And that is one of the greatest tactics of the enemy, is to get people at odds with one another. Oddly enough, I think that when you deal with people, there are going to, when you do life together and you walk through life together with people, the closer you get to them, the more you're going to see their imperfections, the more they're going to see yours. And the more chance there is for hurts and misunderstandings and wounds and things like that. But it's by addressing those things, handling them in a biblical manner, that we work through the problem. And when we get on the other side of the problem, oftentimes we're closer as a result. But even if we don't become buds or become closer, We've handled it properly, and we can still be part of the same body and do life together. There's a lot of people that they get offended. Rather than working through the offense in a biblical manner, they just hightail it and run to the next church. Well, how many of you know if you leave one church wounded and you enter another church wounded, it's a matter of time before you get wounded again? You see, by doing life together and being a part of a body, and you work through those issues, you know, in the home, look between a husband and a wife. If you want a healthy marriage, you have to be willing to sit down and talk through problems that arise from time to time. Parent to child, you have to be willing to sit down and discuss things so that there's peace in the home. You know, if there's an offense, you don't run out and file for divorce. You know, first time it happens or the second time it happens, you don't say, hey, kid, you're out of here. You know, I told you to go to bed at 9 and you went at 10 and you're out. You know, this is how we grow, is when we work through problems and issues, because that happens when we do life together. And the world isn't used to seeing people work through problems and issues and get on the other side and be stronger as a result. Let's take a look at some church facts that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31. I'll read them, and then we'll look at five facts that he gives us. Number one, or verse 27, says, "Now you are Christ's body and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. These are some of the gifts. Then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers or miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way." Five church facts I'm going to throw out at you. Verse 27, Paul again reminds us there's only one body. There might be many denominations, many members within those denominations, but there is only one church. And that is the Church of Jesus Christ. Portland Mount Hope Church, we are a local expression of the body of Christ. You know, we might be a finger on the broader church body. You know, you got the Portland community, faith community. We're going to come together on the Sunday night before Thanksgiving for a community Thanksgiving service, and you're going to see a broader expression of the church body. All right, and so you're gonna. It'll be interesting. But there's only one church body, and there's only, you know, the scripture is very clear of how to walk out our faith. Fact number two. Verse 28 tells us that God does the appointing. He puts the right people with the right gifts in the right churches. Now, there are times that God will, as part of his will, he will move someone from one church to another. That's when it's time to go and be, to leave one church and be a part of another church. You don't leave when you have a hurt or an offense and you're unwilling to deal with it. You know, we need to deal with them properly and biblically. But understand, God does the appointing, not us. Fact number three is found in verse 29 and 30. No one has all the gifts. Now, some of us may have one or two, or you know, we may have several different gifts, and they may operate at different times, but there isn't one person that has all the gifts. No one. I don't care how charismatic they are. I don't care how well they speak. I don't care how nice they are, how loving they are. Nobody in and of themselves is complete. Each one of us brings something to the table to make a complete body, local expression of the church. You understand what I'm saying? Fact number four, verse 31 says that, I find this really interesting, that we're to desire gifts. Not only are we to desire gifts, but the greater gifts. Now, that troubled me when I first read that. But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? Earnestly desire. Earnestly means passionately, you know, just assertively pursue the greater gifts. Well, it tells me, number one, God has given us permission to pursue gifts. Remember, he is the giver. He is the giver, right? And if there's something burning in our heart, it's okay to, you know, oh God, Lord, I just want to speak prophetically. Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. Or Lord, give me the gifts of healing. You know, just It's okay to pursue if there's a stirring in your heart towards something and you don't move in that gift. Lord, give me the heart of a servant. Lord, I want to serve. I want to have that gift of serving or hospitality, whatever it is. It's okay to ask God for it and to desire it. That's a good thing. Now, if my kids or grandkids, whom I love with all my heart, came to me and I could see that they really, really wanted a certain gift. Their motives were pure. Everything was right and pure about it, okay? See, Christmas time, when I was a kid, I'd give my brothers an album. Young people, albums are this vinyl thing. I would find an album that I wanted, and I'd buy it and wrap it up and give it to them for Christmas. I would look like a great guy and borrow it anytime I wanted to listen to it. Problem solved. Except my motives weren't pure. But God knows our heart. He knows the motive and the purity of our heart. And when a child comes, if my child or grandchild was coming to me and they wanted a gift for all the right reasons, and it was within my power to give it, I'm going to cave. I'm going to cave. You know, and it is within God's power to give gifts. And it's okay to pursue, make sure our hearts and motives are right, but to pursue the greater gifts. Because when I get certain gifts, and those gifts operate in the body, you're going to benefit and you're going to win. We have people moving the gifts of healing and prophecy and serving and hospitality and so many of these different gifts. When people excel in those gifts, we all win. Fact number 5, and I'll start wrapping it up. Last part of verse 31. Paul said, "And I show you still a more excellent way." There's a more excellent way. Gifts are not the end all. God has given you and I, members of the body of Christ, gifts so that we can be a blessing to the body, so that collectively, as we walk out these gifts and as we walk out our faith together, we do it biblically, we do it in a way that the world stands back and goes, "Oh my goodness, this is amazing." And they want to be a part of it. But gifts mean absolutely nothing if we don't apply the more excellent way. What is the more excellent way? I guess you're going to have to come back next week to find out. Because I'm going to preach all about the more excellent way next week. So, brief recap. The church matters. It is the most important entity on earth, and it points the lost toward Christ. We're called to be part of a church body. I call it body life. Becoming a Christian makes you part of the body of Christ. There are no lone rangers. It is not biblical to be a lone ranger. You become very vulnerable. And third is, as far as inferior or superior, our spiritual gifts do not determine our worth or value in the church or in life. All right? And I leave you with a few challenges. Challenge number 1, fully embrace body life. Don't just attend church on Sunday, be a part of the church body. Get involved in ministry. Get involved and develop relationships. Second challenge, know what your gifts are, then function in them. If you don't know what they are or how to go about doing that, see Nancy Ann. She can get you moving in the right direction on that. The third challenge is see others as equal. Now, God has lines of authority and things like that, but just because someone is an authority over you doesn't make them better than you. Doesn't make them worse than you, but it doesn't make them better than you. In God's eyes, we're all equal. Then the fourth, before I give this last challenge, I'm going to throw this one out. Call somebody this week that you haven't seen in church for a while. Check up on them. Make sure that they're doing okay. It really concerns me as a pastor. I mean, I talk with pastors. I talk with people who Anthony goes in churches all the time. And he said it's rampant across the church world. People are checking out of churches. They just don't see the need for them. And I believe that is a lie from the enemy. What you do is you isolate, make them vulnerable, and then you can pick them off. Then the final challenge, come back next week and learn about the more excellent way. I'll hold you in suspense. Or you can read chapter 13. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. Let's stand. Lord, thank you for the church body. And help us to be a part of it, Lord, and to walk it out daily with our faith. You know, I want to close the service. We're going to do a special offering for Kids Against Hunger. And Mike, do you remember how much it costs all together? It's like $5,000. Yep, go for it.
For those of you who were in here earlier, you know, and I said, I only come to five different. Oh, and all the stuff you had up there, you guys are winning as a prayer.
Thank you. So if you want to help make Kids Against Hunger a reality, I just want to encourage you, if you're going to write a check out, write it out to Mount Hope Church. And we'll write one check this Saturday at Kids Against Hunger. And all the churches are taking offerings. All the churches are contributing just to... I tell you what, there's a reward when we give a cup of water, when we feed the poor. There's a reward in heaven that God has for us. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege, Lord, to sow into the lives of those who are struggling just to have meals. Lord, what an honor it is to be able to help feed them and to carry out, Lord, that compassionate ministry you've called us to in your word. And Lord, we know that this is a part of the church. That the church rises up and is compassionate and caring and loving, not only for its members, but Father, for all mankind. Lord, let us be true representatives of the church, Lord, through this Kids Against Hunger, through our giving to it, through our showing up to help pack the meals on Saturday. But Father, as we leave this place, Lord, let us see with an awareness of those around us who may be hurting or struggling or less fortunate, and let us always just be discerning of the opportunities we have to be a blessing to others. For Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is received. So Lord, let us be givers for your glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen.